If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 1? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen. Well, I'd like to consider the opening words to what has to be one of my favourite books in the Bible. It's probably a hard book through which to preach because many of the Proverbs themselves don't have anything particularly in common. Often it's advice about how to deal with a neighbour or even how to be godly. And yet there is an overarching theme to the book of Proverbs, which I think Solomon kind of lays out here in chapter 1. And he begins by introducing himself, and he introduces himself as the son of David, king of Israel. Now, some think perhaps he wrote it while he was still young. He's not known for his own children, but rather he is known for whose child he is. He is Solomon, the son of David. And you'll notice in verse 8, which I haven't read, but verse 8 is addressed to my son, hear the instruction of your father. And it might be that while Solomon was growing up, David as a father shared with him the wisdom he had both acquired and accumulated in all his years. Alternatively, Solomon might be writing this as something of an older man, perhaps trying to impart wisdom to his own children. Well, Solomon was a far wiser son to David than Solomon's children were to him. So if he tried, I think he failed. But that's not the problem. The problem is not whether we're clever or stupid, whether we're well educated or not. But it's whether we have verse 7, the fear of the Lord. And that is the gap. That is the problem. With everyone who is not wise, they lack the fear of the Lord. But I will come on to that. Alternatively, when verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. There is a way we can understand it in as much as God himself is talking to us. God is our father. And although I wouldn't want to take the metaphor too far because it speaks of the mother. But here we have, through the pen of Solomon, the son of David, God offering instruction and wisdom to his children. I know I lack wisdom. And James says, if you want it, ask for it. And here we are told the benefits of being wise, the benefits of wisdom. Well, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So wisdom is not being clever. Somebody read something I wrote last week. and said that when I write, they need to have a dictionary with them. I think that's a good thing, actually. You know, we should all have our dictionaries handy. But hey, I don't think that was the point they were making. But being wise does not mean you have a repository of long words which you can trot out to appear intelligent. Wisdom is not having a degree. Wisdom is not being smart. Wisdom is walking with God. Wisdom is letting God lead and we follow him. Wisdom and instruction. God has instructed us how to live in the Bible. And in one respect, the message of the Bible and the Old Testament law in particular is to make us aware and make us realize that we are fallen and have fallen short of his standard. Luther referred to the law as a schoolmaster. It's there to expose and show up our sinful nature. I look at the law of God and I realize that I am a sinful man and I need saving because I myself cannot attain salvation. And yet, in one respect, it is more than that. It is the record of the mind of God telling us how we should live. Take, for example, stealing. There might be an occasion when I might appropriate somebody else's property, knowing full well that I need it more than they do. Knowing full well that I will get away with it. Perhaps knowing full well that I might take it from them and they might never know it has gone. Could I justify my actions in that situation? The Bible says no. Thou shalt not steal. There's no kind of subclause below that saying, except in the following situation where you will get away with it, when you really need it, when you would probably return it if you remembered, there is none of that. It is wrong to steal. And so to be wise is to follow the instruction of God, to obey his commands, rather than obeying something we would prefer. He talks about perceiving the words of understanding. God's word requires study. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe the ploughboy should be able to read it to steal an idea from Tyndale. And the gospel is so incredibly simple. Anybody could understand it. And yet to really understand the word of God, we must study it. We must perceive the words of understanding. We must want to receive instruction. You know, when somebody comes to preach at Martin Top, I pray beforehand, Lord, speak to me through them. I want to hear not the visiting preacher, but the God whose words they want to open up. Receive instruction of wisdom. And then at the end of verse 3, we have some of the consequences of that receiving, of that knowing, of that perceiving. Wisdom is not just head knowledge, it is how we live. If I have and seek the wisdom of God, I cannot be unjust. I cannot lack judgment. I will know how to behave. I will know how to respond. I will be fair in my dealings. I will not steal from people because I would not be unjust towards them. In verse 4, we have two categories of people who might benefit from the wisdom of God. The simple. I admire anything that's simple. But I don't think Solomon has the beauty of simplicity in mind here. The simple here might be those who simply lack wisdom, the foolish. And if you feel foolish or you feel ignorant, well, there is a source of wisdom available to you that will make you prudent, that will make you wise. And then it talks about the young man. Well, why not the young woman? Why not the old man or the middle-aged man? To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Well, the young men of Solomon's day, perhaps not unlike the young men of our own day, lack knowledge but think they know everything. And they're certainly not discreet. Yet for those who need knowledge and discretion, knowing when to speak and when to shut up, knowing when to share and when to keep to oneself. Well, if you want wisdom, you'll get that. In verse 5, we have two more characters introduced to us, the wise man and the man of understanding. A wise man will hear and increase learning. One of the hallmarks of being a wise man, I think, is that you realize you're not as wise as you ought to be. The closer I get to Christ, the closer I want to get. The holier I become, the holier I want to be. And here we have a wise man in verse 5, who, when he hears the wisdom of God, perhaps through Solomon, does not close his ears and walk off, because after all, he's already wise. But he hears and he increases his learning. They who are wise will become wiser. And what of the man of understanding? When he hears wisdom, he will attain wise counsel. But surely, as a man of understanding, he already has wise counsel. To him that has, more shall be given. And they who love their God and wish to know more about him, do not stop studying the Bible because they know all that is to be known, but rather they keep digging deeper and they keep going further. And in terms of their relationship with God, they keep wanting more. So in verse 4, we have two people who don't have much wisdom and they are counseled to obtain it. In verse 5, we have two people who already have wisdom and they are counseled to get more. In a typical congregation, there will be people who are mature believers and people who are not mature believers, perhaps people who are not even believers at all. And yet we don't have two separate meetings and go, look, if you're really mature in the faith, you come at 11 o'clock, or perhaps you come at 4 o'clock. And if you're not mature, you come at 10:45. And what we'll do, we'll give a very simple message to you and a very complicated lecture to all the clever people. We don't do that. Both groups of people come to the same meeting. And Solomon's point here is that the wisdom of God will make wise the simple and the young, whilst at the same time making wiser the wise and giving good counsel to he who already understands. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the word of the wise and their riddles. Well, there is much in Proverbs itself, which is a little bit like a riddle. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice there is waste. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. There is much in the book of Proverbs which we might ponder and consider. They are enigmatic and require understanding. One of the great enigmas of Solomon's day, which I think every real Old Testament saint grappled with, how would God reconcile the world to himself? Now, we living in the age of grace, we know the answer. God himself becomes a human being, lives the life, dies the death, conquers the grave. And by that, not only will the house of Israel be saved, but people from all nations beside. Angels looked into it. Prophets saw it from afar. The wise men pondered it. And we know it. And yet there are many things, are there not, of our faith and the future, which we do not understand. I've heard preachers say that they never preach on the book of Revelation. And yet it's to the glory of God that he conceals things, because I think God would have us search and discover. And those things in the Bible which we do not understand, it would be wrong to simply come up with an answer and assume you're always right. But at the same time, I think it would be wrong to write things off which are currently beyond our understanding. We ought to study the scriptures that we might gain an understanding, that the words of the wise and their riddles might be explained. But that's not really the point of the passage. The point of the passage is not read the Bible to slake your curiosity. But verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Should we fear the Lord? Should we be afraid of him? Does not perfect love cast out all fear? Is there not now no condemnation for those who are in Christ? Now, in my Bible, it's a capital L-O-R-D for Lord. And in the Hebrew, it's a tetragrammaton, God's personal name, Y-H-W-H, Yahweh, could be translated Jehovah. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. It uses God's personal name, the covenant name of God. It is he who is to be feared, not just by the heathen and the pagan and the enemy, but by those who would be wise. So we're to fear him not as an outsider or as an opponent, but as his child, as his beloved, as his covenant people. Those who truly respect God, not just because of his power, but because of their love for him. That is the beginning of all knowledge. And there are many things you might go away and learn. There are many things you might commit to your memory. I wish I could remember half the things I've been taught. I wish I could remember a tenth of the things I have read. Now, you can't see it, but I'm surrounded by books here. And the reason I don't throw a book away is because I know I've forgotten most of what I've read and I'm likely to go back to it. But let me tell you this, of everything you have ever read, of everything you know, it's your knowledge of the Lord and your deep, heartfelt respect for him. It's that alone that matters. I wish I could speak a foreign language. Have you ever heard the saying that education is wasted on the young? As a teacher, I can assure you that that is absolutely true. And I also wish I could go back in time and become a schoolboy again and work harder. You know, I had 3 years, 5 years of free German tuition. And I remember copying my homework because it was far easier to do that than to actually learn it. And once was I lost in Germany and I attempted to remember it and the German just spoke English. And yet I wish I could speak German now. I really do. But when I stand before God, there'll be no German test. He won't ask me for my exam certificates to prove my proficiency in this subject or that. It's the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. If you know Jesus Christ and you understand who he is and what he did and why he came, you're as wise can be. And if you've accepted him, and you understand that when he died upon that cross all those years ago, it was for your blame and for your guilt, for your sin and for your failure that he hung there. If you understand that and claim it as your own, you're wiser than any professor. Solomon provides a contrast in the second part of verse 7. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The wisdom and instruction, presumably, is the opposite of the knowledge which comes from fearing God. Thomas Aquinas argued that one of the five primary precepts or purposes of a human being is to be educated. So anything you do which enables greater education is a morally good thing to do. It's not just neutral, it's morally good. But the fools here of verse 7 are not only disinclined to obtain wisdom and instruction, they despise it. But some, through fear of God, obtain knowledge, and it is the beginning of knowledge. There is more to come. And I really think verse 7 is effectively a gospel message. The fools despise the wisdom of God, but the wise, through fear of God, gain knowledge. I believe that when the Bible speaks of the wisdom of God, it's speaking of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Through him all things were made. Logos can mean word, it can mean idea, it can mean expression, it can mean wisdom. Those who despise Christ and his instruction, no matter how clever they are by worldly standards, they are foolish. And those who might be reckoned as nothing by the world, but they fear the Lord, they know him. And though they might only be at the very beginning of knowledge, they are wiser than all others put together. Friends, if you're not wise, seek wisdom. And if you are wise, desire more. Let's close in song.